Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Vigils in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, where community members gathered to mourn their dead. Over the weekend, at least 30 people were killed and dozens more were injured in two mass shootings. At a Walmart in El Paso on Saturday afternoon, a gunman killed 22 people and wounded more than two dozen others. It was one of the deadliest attacks against Latinos in U.S. history. Nearly 20 minutes before opening fire, authorities say the suspect, a 21-year-old white man, posted a hate-filled manifesto that included language echoing the rhetoric of President Trump and his supporters. In it, he said the attack was a, quote, response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. Within 13 hours of the El Paso shooting, a gunman in Dayton killed nine people, including his sister, in the span of 1 minute in the city's popular entertainment district. Two mass shootings in the span of 24 hours. They follow two other mass shootings from the weekend before, one in New York City and one in Northern California. And on Monday, President Trump addressed the country.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. We're going to talk more about the rise of white supremacist violence and the history of anti-Latino hate in the region in our next story. But first, to give us an update on the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, we're joined by Bob Moore, founder of El Paso Matters and former editor of the El Paso Times. Welcome to The Takeaway, Bob.
Good to be with you again.
And Jess Mador is the managing editor of Dayton's public radio station, WYSO. Jess, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Bob, let's start with you. What's been the response from your community so far, and how has it changed over the past few days?
It really shifted from shock on Saturday to anger on Sunday and into today, after it became clear that somebody drove 10 hours to come to our community to murder people simply for being Latino.
Jess, what's the response been so far in Dayton? How has it changed in as the shock of the immediate terror has worn off?
Yeah, I mean, there is still a lot of shock here, but last night, you know, we had a familiar routine at this point in so many cities. There was a candlelight vigil at the site of the shooting, and more people than I've ever seen in Dayton. Hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, came. They sang and released doves and read the names of the victims. But just like your other guest said, you know, the mood sort of shifted. And then when the governor, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, took the stage, there were some chants that erupted, you know, demanding change about gun violence in our country.
Jess, do they have anything specific that they want DeWine to do other than change? Were there specific demands?
Well, in terms of the crowd, they just kept chanting, you know, make a change, do something. And, you know, there are a host of, there's a host of bills at the legislature, but, you know, it's unclear whether anything's got a chance of coming close to passing. But some of those could include a red flag law that could allow courts to take guns out of the hands of people seen as a threat. But, you know, again, everything is sort of, there's nothing close to passing.
Bob, we know, and as you mentioned, the gunman apparently traveled more than 600 miles from Dallas to El Paso to carry out this attack. Are people connecting any of the rhetoric we've heard from the president to this attack so far?
Absolutely. The president has used the language of invasion to describe the influx of families at our southern border. That word appears in the manifesto to try to disconnect the president's rhetoric from that act is just foolish. It's absolutely connected. Words have consequences, which is something that people here have been warning for a couple of years now. I wish I could say I was surprised that this happened, but I'm not.
I want to ask you both, we've got just 2 minutes left in the segment, but the president is expected to make remarks later this morning. And so far, he's called for increased background checks and has also, in limited remarks, said that this has to do with mental illness. Bob, how has your community responded to that? And Jess, I'd like to hear about the Dayton community as well.
Governor Abbott came here the day of the shooting and couldn't even utter the word hate crimes. He instead, again, talked about mental illness. First of all, people with serious mental illness are far more likely to be victims of violent crimes than perpetrators. There's certainly a need for increased mental health care in this country. But if we use that as an excuse to do nothing else on gun violence and white supremacy, then nothing will change.
Jess, your thoughts on the president and what the community reaction has been so far?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday we had state and federal lawmakers, some of Ohio's senators and lawmakers from Congress, you know, talking about the same stuff, you know, talking about the need for a what they called a bipartisan conversation about guns and mental health. And that's pretty much where the comments ended. There were few details on what a conversation like that could look like or who might start that off.
Jess Mador is the managing editor of Dayton's public radio station, WYSO, and Bob Moore is the founder of El Paso Matters and the former editor of El Paso Times. Thank you both for being here, and we wish you and your communities peace.
Thank you so much.